WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
An overture to the greatest story ever told with guest speaker Dr. Leo Sanchez this week on the Lutheran Hour.
John the Baptist's work will be to point people to one greater than him. John is the living overture to Christ and his work.
Some musical overtures have become more famous than the operas they introduced. But that's not how it was for John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus and heralded him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Dr. Leo Sanchez is our guest speaker today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Glad to be with you, whether you're a longtime listener or tuning in for the first time. The Lutheran Hour is supported by our listeners. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Dr. Leo Sanchez teaches systematic theology and directs the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, now with a message titled, An Overture to the Greatest Story Ever Told. Here is Dr. Sanchez.
Ever been to a classic Broadway musical like West Side Story, Annie, My Fair Lady, or Oklahoma? You may have noticed that these classics of musical theater often begin with an introduction or prologue that sets the stage for the rest of the work. A pit orchestra usually plays an instrumental or vocal opening number that introduces audiences to the main themes, characters, or songs of the musical. These prefaces have their origin in the overtures that introduce operas, or one of their acts, going back to the 17th century. Big names in Western music, such as Mozart, Rossini, Wagner, and Verdi, wrote overtures to set the stage for their operas. Sometimes overtures become so endearing to audiences that their popularity can rival that of the rest of the opera songs or arias. In some cases, symphony orchestras play overtures as masterworks with no reference to the original story these were meant to introduce. Interestingly, some overtures over time became special standalone works written not to introduce operas, but to commemorate certain events. You may recall Tchaikovsky's grand 1812 overture, you know, the one where the cannons are fired near the end. Although today in the U.S., the overture is played during July 4th celebrations fireworks displays, the piece was originally written to commemorate Russia's defeat of Napoleon's army. Even as stand-alone works, overtures' main purpose remains the same. They are meant to draw our attention to some major theme or important work, to the main event. In the Gospels, we also have an overture of sorts that sets up what comes afterwards. It is not an overture played by a pit or symphony orchestra, but one proclaimed by a preacher named John the Baptist. His words are the preface, the opening number, the prologue to the main event, to the grand story of God's salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. In the prologue to the Gospel for today, John the Evangelist tells us that John the Baptist's work will be to point people to one greater than him. The Gospel reads, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." The gospel makes clear that John is not Jesus, but a witness to Jesus, the light of the world. John is the living overture to Christ and his work. On one occasion, the religious leaders of Israel ask John who he is, and he tells them that his work is preparatory to the work of the Christ who comes after him. John emphatically says to them, I am not the Christ. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John explicitly draws attention away from himself and very humbly directs all who ask about him to the Christ, the strap of whose sandal, John says, I am not worthy to untie. John knows he plays a supporting role in God's story of salvation, and he wants everyone to know it. After proclaiming Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John states, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. Jesus is greater than John, because Jesus precedes him. This is another way of saying that unlike men who are from the earth, like John himself, Jesus exists before all men because he comes from above, from God, indeed, because he is Lord and God. It is also clear that Jesus is greater than John because only Jesus, the divine Word made flesh, has the power to become for us and for our salvation the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Like an overture that points hearers to the great musical character and work that is to come, John is the living voice sent by God to bear witness to Jesus' lordship and salvation, to his divine preexistence, and his power to save the world through his sacrificial death. In the text for today, we find yet another incident in which John the Baptist must draw a clear contrast between himself and Jesus. On this occasion, the disciples of John, in their own way, asked him if it was okay for Jesus to be baptizing people who were then following him. He is baptizing, and all are going to him, they observed. John tells them that his ministry, and by extension, the baptisms he performed, were all given to him from heaven anyway. John cannot claim that his baptism was his own, much less that those baptized by him should believe and follow him. Since the baptisms came from heaven, and in John's gospel, Jesus comes from heaven, whatever John the Baptist has, he has received from Jesus himself. Another way in which John shows Jesus is greater than him. Everything John did was not done to play the main role, but rather the supporting role in God's story. Ultimately, his job was to prepare the way for people to be baptized by Jesus, believing him and follow him. John reminds his disciples of those words he had spoken to the religious leaders earlier. I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. And then John uses yet another delightful illustration from the world of weddings to show Jesus' superiority over him. Those who believe in Jesus and are faithful to him are his bride, the church. Jesus is her bridegroom. John the Baptist, on the other hand, teaches his disciples that he is not the bridegroom, but rather the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him and rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. John is like the best man in a wedding, who is unselfishly and exceedingly happy for his friend, the bridegroom. In Jesus' day, a best man would have brought the bride to the bridegroom's chamber and upon hearing the bridegroom's voice, let him in to spend time with his wife. In this way, the friend could also testify to the consummation of their marriage. Similarly, John's job is to prepare the way for disciples to be united to Jesus, the bridegroom, through belief in him. John knows his supporting role, and he embraces it with gladness. He teaches his disciples, he must increase, but I must decrease. With these words, John is teaching his disciples what it means to be a true disciple. John's disciples don't get that John's message and baptism is the overture to Jesus, that Jesus is the main act in God's story of salvation. John is telling them that it is really Jesus they should believe in and follow. In the music world, we mentioned that overture's popularity can at times rival that of the main story, or even become more important than the main drama as standalone pieces with no connection to what comes after. That might work in the music world, but not in the biblical world. Not in the world of the Gospels, where every preface, prologue, or introduction is there to proclaim Jesus, the main character, and his work of salvation, where everything that is said and written must lead people to believe in the Son and have life in his name. But a question remains: how does God make disciples who believe in his Son and have life in his name? John the Baptist answers this question by drawing yet another contrast between him and Jesus. In his overture, John has already testified that Jesus comes before him, that he is from above. The Son's being from above points to his preexistence and divine status. John has also testified that Jesus came from above to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Son's power to forgive our sins through his sacrifice points to what the gospel calls his glorification, to his being lifted up on the cross to save us from our sins. As the evangelist John puts it, referring to Jesus' death, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In his magnificent overture, John the Baptist introduces another theme that also shows a major distinction between him and Jesus. To his disciples, John explained that his baptism was given to him from above, and its sole purpose was to lead sinners to faith in Jesus and life in him. If Jesus is baptizing with his new disciples, there is nothing to worry about. That's the point of John's ministry of preparation, to set the stage for Jesus' baptizing others. Similarly, to the religious leaders, John must explain that he baptizes with water, but the one who comes after him will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The scene where John testifies to this truth is the baptism of Jesus at the Jordan River. John sees him there and testifies, "For this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And then John continues, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." Yes, John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit too, but he had the Spirit like the prophets of old did, to bear witness to the Christ who was to come. But now, Jesus has the Spirit in a more excellent way, for the Spirit remained on him, came to rest on him as the fulfillment of all the prophets. The Son of God bears the Spirit in his humanity, in the flesh, in a permanent and definitive way. We learn the same truth about Jesus in the Gospel for today, which states that Jesus, the one who comes from above and is above all, bears witness to what he has seen and heard from God the Father. He speaks for God to the world in a definitive way because he has the fullness of the Spirit who remains on him. For he whom God has sent, that is, Jesus, utters the words of God, for God gives Jesus the Spirit without measure. The incarnate Son of God bears the Spirit in a permanent, immeasurable way. And therein lies a key difference between John and Jesus. John's baptizing with water prepared the way for Jesus' baptizing with the Holy Spirit. The Baptist did not learn this on his own, but rather from God the Father. "I myself did not know him," says John. "But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I," John continues, "have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." For what purpose, then, does the Holy Spirit remain on the Son in a measureless way? So that the Son, in his divine generosity, may speak Spirit-breathed words of life to a world in darkness, words that point to people to faith in him and eternal resurrection life with him. He bears the Holy Spirit to give us the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit may guide us and keep us steadfast in the truth, who is Jesus Christ himself and his life-giving words. The same Spirit who remained on Jesus will remain with us as well. John uses the same verb, remain, to highlight the permanent role of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus' disciples as their teacher and guide. And Jesus' same promise is true for us today. He said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you," or remains on you, "and will be in you." And now we, the church, who have graciously received the Holy Spirit from Jesus through the word and baptism in his name, and been made his bride, his disciples in this world through faith in him, have the Holy Spirit to be a John the Baptist to a hurting world, to bear witness to Jesus who has come, died for our sins, rose from the dead, and will come again to give us resurrection until life everlasting. On that glorious day, the bridegroom will return to gather his bride, the church, for the marriage feast that has no end. In the meantime, we have received the Spirit from Jesus to play the overture to his story of salvation, to be living voices that make way for him to decrease so that he may increase in our lives, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and eternal life in his name. Indeed, to be witnesses to the main character in the greatest story ever told. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for breathing the Holy Spirit upon your servant John the Baptist and upon us, your church, so that we may trust in you always and may ever be ready to speak your life-giving words to others, so that they too may believe in you and follow you. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org. Joining us now, here's Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Thank you, Mark. Today, I am visiting with our guest preacher, Dr. Leo Sanchez. Thank you for sticking around to visit with us, Leo.
It's my pleasure to be with you, brother.
I love the metaphor that you used in the sermon, how the work of John the Baptist is an overture, you know, the preamble or something to the main course, the work of Jesus. And this is something that you draw from the world of music, which is very near and dear to your heart. You're a member of the St. Louis Municipal Symphony, is that correct?
Yeah, it's called the St. Louis Civic Orchestra.
Civic Orchestra.
And this year we're celebrating 75 years.
Okay, and you play the violin or the viola?
Well, I play the double bass.
The double bass, that's right.
That's right, the double bass. And I've been doing that for 16 seasons, I believe. And maybe about 8 of them as principal double bass player.
So that means first chair.
That means first chair. That means more practice.
Okay.
And also providing some guidance to the other musicians in the bass section.
I think it's also very good because as a professional church worker, you know it's really easy to get inside the Christian bubble or the church bubble. And a lot of times professional church workers don't have avenues to rub shoulders with people who don't believe or don't go to church. And so this does that for you.
And music is an interesting thing. It's one of those things that are not exactly like politics, you know. So people who think very differently about things actually get together and they have to make music. They have to listen to each other and they have to work together to create or express something beautiful. And hanging out with those neighbors over time helps you to appreciate the giftedness in God's creation. It also helps you to appreciate the struggles that people go through. And so over time, that has led to some interesting conversations.
I bet.
And if you're a Lutheran, you always think of Luther and how much he appreciated music as God's greatest gift. Second only to theology.
Yeah, to the
word. So I figure, you know, it can't be so bad to be a theologian and a musician.
It's a good pairing.
But yes, music, I think, invites you to think, you know, theologically or from a biblical perspective about things like relationships, you know, with neighbors, with whom you work to do things together. That in some ways make the world, even if a little bit, a better place. And I think a lot of people are attracted to music because it's one of those places where they can, you know, have some relief or have a sense of what is beautiful in a world that is very divisive or a world that is tragic often. We need not take for granted that that is a gift from God given to us. And so it's always an interesting place to be there because you have a deep sense of respect for your colleagues. And at the same time, you get to empathize with their needs and their hopes. And so it's kind of, you know, a church outside the church. You know, it's a place where the brokenhearted come with their problems often, and music provides some way of perhaps healing.
You mentioned some conversations. Do you have one, of course, respecting privacy of individuals?
Yeah.
Do you have something you could share as an illustration of the kinds of conversations you have, spiritual conversations?
Well, there's been many over the years. One of them, I think, has been more ongoing. So, you know, conversations are not simply a one-shot deal. Sometimes once you enter into a relationship with someone, you begin to work with them over time, and you get to know them over time. And so you could have a long, open-ended conversation. I had a colleague whose mother was treated badly by the church. And so that all of a sudden raised the profile for me of trying to show them that not everybody in the church is bad, you know. And I think when you come from a church background or profession, and people know that, they have higher expectations of you. Because, you know, they hear about the scandals and things like that. So now you have to sort of be a good witness. And I think, you know, that was a very painful experience for him. And he would say, what they did to my mother. And then I found out that it was a Lutheran church. So that came, you know, closer to home. And so as a someone who is a professor at a Lutheran seminary, of course, I felt that it was necessary that we be, that we would be reconciled in some way, you know? And so I put some effort into that relationship, and we did a lot of gigs together, even outside of the orchestra. And so, long story short, one time we needed an organist. This person is a keyboard player. And we needed an organist at church, and we couldn't find organists. And so I, you know, I was hesitant to ask him because he actually said to me once, I would never set my foot on a Lutheran church. I actually remember being hesitant about asking, but I did. And I said, well, you know, in case we really can't find someone, I might ask you to see if you would do it. And he said, you know, Leo, I said to you that I would never set my foot in a Lutheran church again. And then he paused and then he said, but for you, I might just do it.
Yeah.
You don't get there right away, you know?
Right. That's, like you said, it's an ongoing,
yes,
more about faithful presence over time
over
rather
time.
Than the silver bullet, you know, one-liner that you defeat all the arguments.
Right,
that
will
like
solve everything.
Yeah, no, it's presence.
Yeah, and I think it was a process of kind of reconciliation, you know. And so that's one of many stories.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sticking around. Thank you for being our guest preacher today, and we look forward to hearing you some more.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you.
Now Dr. Sanchez invites us to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts can extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine for your Sunday. Our afternoon high in the upper 20s, and our southwest winds 5 to 15, could be a little stronger, close to 20 at times. In the overnight, mostly clear, lows in the upper teens. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 23 degrees.
80s, 90s, and more.
Love Jack. You say,
oh, tainted love.
99 Max FM.
Yes, I'm so crazy right now.
Call your name 2-3 times in a row. Such a funny thing for me to try to explain. How I'm feeling and my pride is the one to blame. Cause I know I don't understand just how your love can do it, no one else can. My friends so quietly.
Who we think he is?
Look at what you did to me. Titty shoes don't even need to buy a new dress. If you ain't there, ain't nobody else to impress. The way that you know what I thought I knew. It's the beat that my heart gets when I'm with you. But I still don't understand just how you love to do it, no one else can.
Come and look at some crazy right now, your love's coming.
When the flow is loco, young B and the ROC. Uh-oh, OG, big homie, the one and only. Stick bony, but the pockets are fat like Tony. Soprano, the rock handle like Ben X2. I shake bonies, man, you can't get next to. The genuine article, I do not sing, though. I sling, though, if anything, I bling, yo. Star like Ringo, war like a Greensboro wreck. Crazy, bring your whole set. Jay-Z in the range, crazy in the range. They can't figure him out, they like, hey, is he insane? Yes, sir, I'm cut from a different cloth. My texture is the best firm chinchilla. I've been dealing with chain smokers. How do you think I got the name over? I've been realer, the game's over. Fall back young, ever since I made the change over to platinum. The game's been a rap one.
Got me looking so crazy, my baby.
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant joining you. It is a little after 11:30 on Sunday morning. I hope everyone's having a great weekend so far. Here is Lovin' Rocket, So Alive on Max FM.
Yeah. feel I'm on top again, baby. That's got everything to do with you. I'm alive.
You lost everything.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant hanging out with you on Sunday morning. Don't forget, we're going to be giving away tickets to the Crystal Grand Music Theater on Monday morning. Tune in. You have a chance to win a pair of Lynch Mob tickets. That show is February 7th. Just make sure you have that FreeSift Media app ready to go on your mobile device. Here's Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark if you leave on Max FM.
The variety begin now.
9 to 5, usually. Like, I listen to it at my work and in my car.
99.7 Max FM.
Bust it.
This here's a jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get, females get jealous. Okay, get smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad, are showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon. Food is served and you're stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking, sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she wanna dance cause she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move. Someone could cure your lonely condition. Looking for love in all the wrong places. No fine girls, just ugly faces. From frustration, first inclination is to become a monk and leave the situation. But every dark tunnel has a lighter hope, so don't hang yourself with a celibate rope. New movie showing, so you're going. Could care less about the five you're blowing. Theater gets dark just to start the show. Then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. She's dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust a move. Some play, then you try to make a move and she says no way. Girls are faking, goodness saking. They want a man who brings home the bacon. Got no money and you got no car, then you got no woman, and there you are. Some girls are sadistic, materialistic. Looking for a man makes them opportunistic. They're lying on the beach, perpetrating a tan so that a brother with money can be their man. So on the beach you're strolling, real high rolling. Everything you have is yours and not stolen. A girl runs up with something to prove, so don't just stand there, bust the move. Larry, in 5 days from now he's gonna marry. He's hoping you can make it there if you can, cause in the ceremony you'll be the best man. You say neato, check your libido, and roll to the church in your new tuxedo. The bride walks down just to start the wedding, and there's one more girl you won't be getting. So you start thinking, then you start clicking. A bridemaid looks and thinks that you're winking. She thinks you're kinda cute, so she winks back. And now you're feeling really firm, cause the girl is stacked. Reception's jumping, bass is pumping. Look at the girl and your heart starts stumping. Says she wanna dance to a different groove. Now you know what to do, G, bust the move.
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you a little bit longer on Sunday morning. Baraboo Thunderbirds basketball Tuesday night and Friday night right here on 99.7 Max FM. You can listen to it on 99.7 Max FM in the Baraboo area, 103.7 in the Reedsburg area. Stream online at max.fm. Tell your smart device play Max FM Baraboo, or download the free Civic Media app and stream it with you wherever you're at. Here is Foreigner on Max FM.
So long, I've been looking too hard, I've been waiting too long. Sometimes I don't know what I will find, I only know it's a matter of time. When you love someone, when you love someone, it feels so right, so wrong.
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. This is Dave. I'm going to head on out. I'll be back with you after 4 o'clock. Coming up afternoon will be Kid Kelly and Backtracks USA 80s. Here is Prince on Max FM.
All seven and we'll watch them fall. They stand in the way of love and we will smoke them all with an intellect and a savoir-faire. No one in the whole universe will ever compare. I am yours now and you are mine, and together we'll love through all space and time. So don't cry, one day all seven will die. Space.